Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I will begin reading at the 12th verse. The body is the unit, though it is made up of many parts. Though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are still indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Natalie, if you would now put the Matthew passage back on the screen, please, ma'am. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Between now and the beginning of Lent, at the end of February, I'm preaching a series of sermons on priorities. Now, I've mentioned this before, but a priority is something that has first claim. Number one claim on our time, our energy, our resources, and our happiness. Today, I want to speak on the priority of the church. One day, a group of birds got together, and they decided that they wanted to establish a church congregation. A meeting was called to decide what kind of a church they wanted to be. What was most important, what their church should represent. And so the parent stood up and said, if we're going to have a church, we've got to have good organization. We need meetings and officers and committees and subcommittees, and we need to do a good job of the business of the church. Well, a pheasant jumped up and said, I disagree. Organization is okay, but I think it's much more important to have lots of social events. We all have beautiful feathers, and surely God wants us to be able to show those feathers off. The sparrow chimed in, no, it's not organization or social events we need. It's a popular pastor. It doesn't matter what he or she says or does, as long as he or she doesn't ruffle any feathers in our congregation. Now, an aside here, if you're a church of birds, you're going to have some feathers, right? Next, the mockingbird spoke up. I think you're all wrong. We need a pastor who's good with children and young people. They're the church of tomorrow, you know. Well, obviously, in that meeting, there was widespread disagreement as to what was most important in the church. At that point, the wise old owl slowly rose to his feet. He grew very, very quiet as he prepared to speak. In a very reassuring manner, the wise old owl said, don't despair, my friends, because we can have all of these things in our church. The other birds immediately chimed in, all of these things, yes, yes, we can have all of these things. And so they congratulated one another, patted each other on the back, shook hands or wings, and formed a church. And when they got through, anybody know what they had? They had a church for the birds. You ever hear the old phrase, that's for the birds? Well, it was a church for the birds, not because of what they included, but because of what they left out. In all of their conversation, there was no call for a message of good news, a message of God's grace. There was no sense of mission or morality, no compassion for others, no sharing the love of Jesus, no understanding of service or commitment to Christ, no challenge to Christ-like living. Of course, we need to be organized. Of course, we need to have fellowship events. It's wonderful to have a capable pastor, a beautiful facility. But these things become significant and sacred only when they enable us to become the body of Christ. What did we sing a few minutes ago? I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. All of God's people all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. As Paul wrote in the scripture passage from Corinthians that I read earlier, we, you and me, are the body of Christ. We, you and me, are the church. And each one of us is a necessary part of it. Well, I think there are many signs of the body of Christ, of the church. And among them are faith, hope, and love. First of all, there is faith. Do we have any theater lovers in the church? I am. I love to go to the theater and see plays of all descriptions. The last play that I was fortunate to see in person took place last spring here in Alabama, in Birmingham. It was called The Fiddler on the Roof. Don't know if you've ever seen The Fiddler on the Roof, but Tevye is the main character and one of my favorite characters. And in the play, Tevye has a beautiful relationship with God. He sees God as a real active force in his life, as an intimate friend with whom he can share everything. Now, Tevye talks to God, but he doesn't talk in pious tones, and he doesn't use sanctimonious phrases. He just talks and tells God what he thinks. And sometimes he laughs with God. Sometimes he cries. Sometimes he complains. Sometimes he rejoices. Because Tevye truly believes that God is listening and that God cares. And what holds the church together? It's our faith. It keeps us rooted in the good news. The news that God, through Christ, is with us. We can count on God. He is our strength, our Savior, our Comforter. We can face anything in life because He is with us. I look around the congregation this morning. And I see people who are going through difficulties in their lives. I know that. Because some of you have shared those difficulties with me, and we've had an opportunity to pray about them. Some of you are facing difficulties that you and I have not talked about, but it's been on our prayer list. It's been in the hearts and minds of people. And we're, as a body, going through things collectively, and we're going through things individually. Today is the 29th day of January. On Tuesday, it will be the month of February. And for me and my family, February has always been a month of celebration. My mother-in-law was born on February the 7th. Valentine's Day comes up on February the 14th. And for Brenda and me, it was a great, great day of celebration every year. Our grandson, only biological grandson, Jeremiah Stone, was born on the 17th of February. My mother was born on the 22nd of February. Brenda was born on the 24th of February. On the 27th of February last year, I preached to you a sermon on, I believe, in everlasting life. At 3 o'clock in the morning, Lynn got up to give her mother some medication. Felt led of God to play that service for her mother. Brenda was seemingly unconscious, but they say that sometimes your ability to hear is the last thing you lose. But she played that sermon of celebration for her mother 5 hours later. Brenda went home to be with Jesus. And then the next day, February the 29th, though I know it only comes around every 4 years, but on February 29th of 1964, Brenda and I got engaged. February has always been for us a month of celebration. But it has a new twist this year because it's my first February without the love of my life. But you know what? In Matthew 28, Jesus says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so I'm ready to get into February and I'm ready to celebrate because our God is able. And I know that you will celebrate with me, even as I celebrate life with you. Because we're the church. We're the church together. And I want you to know this morning, I'm sold on the church. There is no institution in the world that serves people like the church. There's no institution in the world that helps families, that helps people like the church. There's no institution in the world that teaches love like the church. There's no institution in the world that lifts up God like the church. The world is starving for Jesus Christ, and as Christians, we are His body together. So we gather as a people of faith to share Him. And everything that church does is for that purpose. But not only is faith a sign of the body of Christ, the church, hope is a sign also. As Christians, we believe that nothing, not even death, can separate us from God. And whatever we have to face in this life or the next, He'll be there for us. I think it goes without saying that I like to tell stories. I like to tell all kinds of stories. I want to tell you an incredible story of hope this morning. John Price is the chaplain of the Methodist Hospital in Houston, Texas. Over the years, he has kept a journal, and this, don't know how many he's added to it since then. It was a few years ago when I first heard this story, but at that time, he had kept a journal of 89 patients who had shared with him a near-death experience. In these stories, people talk about bright lights, out-of-body moments, a feeling of peace and serenity. Of the 89, all of them are fascinating, but one of them, the one I want to tell you about, is stunning. One Sunday morning, John, the chaplain, baptized a 7-week-old baby girl. 7-week-old baby girl. The very next day, the mother of the little girl was feeding her infant daughter when the baby went totally limp with no signs of life. The mom screamed for her husband. They did mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, rushed the baby to the emergency room of the hospital where she had been born. The ER staff did a great job working with her. She responded, and the next day, her parents took her home healthy once again. 4 years later, the little girl and her mom were driving past that hospital. The little girl pointed to the hospital and said, "Look, Mommy, look. That's where Jesus came to me and brought me back." The mother was stunned. She stopped the car and said to her daughter, "What did you say?" And the little girl said it again, "That building. That's where Jesus came to me and brought me back." Now here's That's amazing, but as Paul Harvey says, let me tell you the rest of the amazingness. The family had never told their daughter about her near-death experience when she was 7 weeks old. Nor had they been back inside of a church since her baptism. That family had never mentioned the name of Jesus to that little girl. But let me tell you something, they do now. That day when that little girl pointed at the hospital and said, "That's where Jesus came to me and brought me back," that day changed their lives forever. It's the hope that's laid up for us in Christ Jesus. I can't explain what happened scientifically. I have no concept of how a 4-year-old girl could remember what happened to her when she was a 7-week-old baby, except to say, with God, all things are possible. I got at least one amen. You know, I kind of wish I had Al Lewis here with me all the time. I don't know. I don't have answers for that. But I do know in this life and in the life to come, He is always watching over us and taking care of us. The Candler School of Theology at Emory University in Atlanta is named in memory of Bishop Warren Candler. It's said of Bishop Cannon that when he was on his deathbed, he was asked if he were afraid of dying, afraid of crossing over the river of death. I love his answer. Bishop Candler said, "No, I'm not afraid at all, because my father owns the land on this side and on that side." Isn't that great? Not only are faith and hope signs of the body of Christ, the church, love is a sign as well. There's nothing in this world more powerful than love. Paul said, "Now abides these three, faith, hope, and love." And the greatest of these is love. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we wonder about it. Maybe even doubt it. Too often we want to put our faith in military power, intellectual pursuits, scientific advances, economic strength, international alliances, political clout. But over and over and over, the Bible says that love is the answer, for God so loved the world. John 15, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." No greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Many years ago, a 10-year-old boy named Johnny was sitting alone on a park bench on a beautiful spring day watching some other kids play baseball. An older man was walking by, saw Johnny sitting there, and sat down beside him. They entered into a conversation. They talked about the weather. They talked about sports. They talked about family. Finally, the older man said, "Johnny, I want to ask you a question. If you had 3 wishes, what would they be?" Johnny thought for a moment and then said, "First, I would pray for peace and happiness in the world. Secondly, I would pray that everyone or wish that everyone would follow Jesus, give their hearts to Him, and be a part of a church. And then third, I wish that my best friend Billy, who is blind, would be able to see. The older man seemed somewhat amazed by Johnny's answer. And with a look of perplexity, he told Johnny goodbye and walked away. Johnny didn't understand why the man was perplexed, why the man was confused when he prayed that his best friend could receive his sight. And so Johnny sat there for a moment thinking about it. And then he picked up his crutches and hobbled home. You get it? And you know where he got that kind of spirit? He got it from the church. And now there are these three. Faith, hope, love, that bind us together with Him and with each other forever. Amen. What a wonderful thing the church is. I'm so glad we're part of the same family. As usual, the altar is open if you need to respond in prayer. If there's a commitment to God of the church that you need to make, I would invite you to come as we sing our closing hymn.